wants to talk about it, we'll be back.
All right, council, we're going to go ahead and get our council meeting started. This is Tuesday, October 15th, at 7:00 p.m. And we are meeting in the Superior Community Center. You're going to start with a pledge led by Councilmember Miller and an invocation given by Councilmember Anderson.
Please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this evening that we could come together as city council and staff for the city of Cedar Hills. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to serve the citizens of this city and help to make a difference. We pray that we'll be able to make wise decisions and discuss things that are pertinent to the improvement of our city. And we ask that the city be blessed, that we'll have peace and happiness, and that we will be kind to one another and have good will towards one another. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, moving on to item number two, I just need a motion to approve the meeting agenda. Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth, is there a second? Second by Councilmember Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We'll move on to item number three, which is public comment. Is there anybody here that wanted to speak during the public comment portion of the meeting? We'll close the public comment and move on to items 4 and 5, which are seated for the business.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple rec notes. We have Junior Jazz and Ski Bus registrations are open. Ski Bus, as you remember, is now with Brighton and extended to 4 weekends, so a great deal. And we anticipate that our Junior Jazz program will fill up like it always does every year, so please get registered early. Flag football is wrapping up. We've had a few weather issues, but ended well. We had our last golf tournament yesterday with Lone Peak Baseball, and we finished a fantastic year. Wade has done a great job of securing tournaments, and he's really been focused on getting those tournaments booked for next year as well to bring them back. Also, we've gone over the events calendar, and they've done a great job of getting booked for the holiday season, so we look forward to some strong numbers there. As a matter for public safety, American Fork Fire will be hosting an open house tomorrow night at the Cedar Hills Fire Station between 6 and 8. They did indicate that there are some free hot dogs, so if you're looking for dinner, there's a place to get it. We would like to remind people that as eagerly anticipated the opening of Harvey Park is, it is not open yet, so we want to make sure the public understands that it is an active construction site and is not open to the public. So when you see people down there, please advise them to leave. The PI system, as of a few days ago, was turned off, so you may hear people complaining, but we have entered the winter watering season, and we will be bringing to the council a discussion on our water usage and conservation efforts in the next couple meetings. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Anderson, I have nothing. Councilmember Geddes.
I have nothing to report.
For me, the only thing I did attend the DRC meeting for the Boyer project, which is the property south of Lone Peak on the Highland side, and I do have a copy of their phase one plan to everyone the council has seen, but I don't care if anyone else wants to look at that. In our last MAG meeting, they talked about upcoming funding for the transportation improvement plan. So MAG goes through, they have a TAC committee, which is the technical advisory committee, and cities can apply for funding for various transportation projects. It includes roads and trail systems and pedestrian walkways and a variety of things are eligible for it. In the next funding cycle, which starts in 2024, they're taking applications now for that funding cycle, and they anticipate they'll have between $75 and $85 million available. So we haven't had anybody on the TAC committee, but I believe Chandler is going to start going to those to represent. So the TAC committee is the one who narrows it down then for the mayors to vote on regionally on this list. And once that tip goes into effect, that's what's going to be funded for the next few years. So Chandler's going to start going to those, but if you guys have any suggestions on things that we should apply for,
what can we do with it?
Yeah. Anything transportation related, so it can be trail systems, it can be road improvements, it can be pedestrian walkways, it can be, I can get you guys the list. Generally, they want it to be on county road. No, the county would have to apply for it, but we could talk to the county and see if they would be willing to. But we have to own the road, and they generally want it to have some kind of regional significance. But they have funded things like they were doing a pedestrian overpass. Oh, there's a pedestrian overpass going over SR 92 by McDonald's, and that's being really funded by MAG. So, on SR 92.
Oh,
they're going to do a pedestrian overpass there,
yeah.
And that will be funded through the.
I want to
run it. I know. And those are things that we could, you know, jointly look at with Highland. So I'll get all the specific criteria. But Chandler's going to start representing Cedar Hills on the TAP committee, which does, they're more of the usually engineers and city planners and such that narrow down the list that should be funded. But anyway, just so you know, 2024, 75 to 85 million. So. And they're very anxious for some of the smaller cities to get on the list.
Have we ever got money from them doing it over the years?
Not that I'm aware of.
This process that I'm aware of. I think that's what they're worried about, is some of the smaller cities really aren't being, they're not receiving anything. So they're anxious to have us there. And then lastly, I did receive a couple of calls. You probably saw on Facebook, I had a question on Facebook as well, about those street lights on the SR92 and the Mountain of Canyon, that they don't, they installed them, but they haven't been turned on. So I reached out to UDOT because SR92 is a UDOT road. They informed me that the county took over that portion and along with the lights. So I reached out to Richard Nielsen, and he responded to me saying that they are in the process of working with Rocky Mountain on getting those lights turned on, but that they should be turned on for the next week or so. But apparently that section is also now under the review of that. So, hoping to see those lights on soon. That's all I have. Councilor Rosler? Councilor Bailey? Okay, so we'll move on to item number 6, which is a review action on approving the Cedar Canyon subdivision plat and reporting with the county recorder's office.
All right. So Dave Weekly Homes, they driven by their project, they're on Cedar Hills Drive, of course, in Center West. They are nearing completion of the public improvement portion of their project, and they're ready to go with the phase of the start building homes. They are really anxious to get going on some submittals for homes, and so they have requested that they go into durability, and they actually handed the documentation over report to the city for durability bond. However, we feel that the best process right now would be to record the plat, recording each individual lot, recording the easements, recording the public right-of-ways, and then accepting durability for those public right-of-ways. So tonight we're going to request that the city council approve the plat as presented here. The change, this older version, I pulled up this one, but there was an easement for Pleasant Grove Irrigation Company down here in this corner. As I mentioned in the work session, they have secured documentation and reported that at the county that vacates this easement, so it's no longer served. And then if you zoom in up here on the corner, here, it's hard to read, but that says west right there. They changed the bearings and the legal description of the plat to start at east. So. They've also made that substantial change in the boundary description as well. There is an easement here in the bottom right corner, this square. You see this dotted line that goes right through the potential homes there. Once this is recorded, that is an easement in the favor of Cedar Hills. Once this is recorded, that easement will be vacated, as we don't want our retention easement in people's living rooms. So then once they go into durability, which I anticipate will be next month, they'll post a bond for durability and for any outstanding construction work that has yet to be done. It's anticipated that value of those bonds will be about $300,000 to definitely cover the construction and then just a typical 10% bond for the amount of public improvements. Are there any questions from the council on this item?
I have two. I know they've been working with Rocky Mountain on those power lines. Have they come to any resolution on that?
Jeff can probably speak better to this than I can. The big issue was getting it, was not removing the power lines, but it was connecting to the power transformer across the street.
Don't they have to be buried though?
They do.
Okay.
Yes, so it's burying those lines. Burying the lines down here is the easy part. It's changing that connection to the end of the road there is the tricky part. As they wanted to initially bore through the road, but staff's concern was that when they pull back, it would have the potential to lift some of those utilities, and we weren't comfortable with that. So the last I heard was that they were going to actually cut open the road and lay some conduit. Is that still the plan?
As of yesterday, their proposal, and it sounds like it's been accepted by Rocky Mountain Power, is to utilize the existing conduit. The power lines will be abandoned, and the underground is rerouted, so there won't be any power running along that south property line.
So will they take those poles and wires down and just leave
yes.
them there? Well, they'll take it down, okay.
They'll yes. take them down, and that power will be rerouted through public utilities there on the front side of the property so that they can be accessed by Rocky Mountain Power. It's such a narrow space between the homes and the property line, it just wasn't feasible.
What's our easement? All across or Rocky Mountain's bigger across the back or not?
Across the back.
It's just a standard.
Just a standard 10 feet.
That's where the irrigation easement was at the speed of the best.
The irrigation easement, but the easement actually extends into these neighbors' yard. If you go into their backyards, they have these spots where the ditch wasn't buried very much, so it's got these connections where the little hump in their yard, and so that easement has been abandoned, which I think will make a lot of these.
Is that still in detention, or is it actually a lot on the corner now?
This right here?
Yeah.
This is a lot right now.
Okay.
So this.
So it does get filled in and everything then?
Yeah, so this is going to be filled in. It's going to be a lot. There's going to be a retaining wall there to give this person some privacy, because this corner sits really high. I do want to take just a moment to commend the David Weekly Homes on being just so excellent to work with. There was a number of concerns that came up from these residents here on the construction, how it would affect them. And it was, the wall, it was the power lines, it was the proximity of the homes, it was a number of issues. And I want to commend David Weekly because they were really great to address those concerns and work with the residents and work with the city and come to acceptable solutions for everyone involved. So they've just been really fantastic.
So the only thing I'd add to that is that I've been involved in those discussions, but I feel like as a developer, if the city's being willing to compromise, the developer will compromise and do things. So that's a commendation to you and your staff
yes.
for working with them, because I think what they saw out of that was, I'll give a little bit, they'll give a little bit, and we'll make it better for all of us. And I think that's a great position from a city standpoint.
I agree. Jeff has been down there and spent hours and hours down there on the project, and Jeff's just done a fantastic job helping them work through those details. So I commend Jeff on that as well.
So I have a question, and I don't know if this is how it's going to work, but okay, is he going to build all these houses out and sell the homes, or is he going to sell?
They're going to build all the homes. That's the project. That's
okay.
The project now.
So they build the houses, you kind of buy a finished home. You
yes.
don't choose
yes.
your.
I guess they'll have a model complex with three or four models. And then they'll build all those throughout the neighborhood, kind of like what Oakwood Homes does right now.
Pick which model you like,
yeah.
and
the slight variations,
right? Elevation differences.
But it will look like a harmonious little neighborhood. But they're going to be building all.
Yes.
You have a second question.
Remind me, Doug Young kept ownership of that corner property.
He did.
They
believe
we
can
buy it, did they? I thought they would really help that out.
I'll give you back to them. I don't know if somebody wants to answer that question.
I'm just curious to know if you've heard anything more about control development there.
I have not heard any. I've spoken to a number of people that were interested in something I felt like would be better used there rather than along North County Boulevard. When I've been approached by possible medical offices or items in that nature, I've always kind of said there's this potential not available rather than the interest on North County Boulevard.
I'll have to look at it. I thought they cut it out because they don't do commercial, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I have to look at it.
I was just curious if there was any
answer to my question. I apologize.
None of
that was my stuff.
It didn't have anything to do with this particular
fight
anyway. So.
Yeah, so they want to record the plat. Once that plat's recorded, They can start submitting some building permits. We anticipate those last 2-3 weeks submittals, but you could see homes being constructed in that neighborhood in the next month, which would be great. We've got a lot of interest from people interested in these lots.
Are they at all indicated price range?
Everything I've heard is about $4,500. A lot of people have assumed that because the lots are smaller, it's affordable housing. It's, it doesn't mean the moderate income housing threshold at all. But they'll be nice homes. Yeah.
Any questions on that one? Not, I'll make a motion.
I'll make a motion. I would like to make a motion that we approve the Cedar Canyon plat as presented and direct staff to record the plat with the Utah County Recorder's Office.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 7, which is a review action on an ordinance and then Title 6, Chapter 8-6 related to park reviews.
We discussed this in the last meeting, changing the parks and parks curfew from 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock between Labor Day and Memorial Day, basically during the school year. So that's the way I drafted the code. We had briefly spoken about possibility of changing the park curfew for one park, but not all. But in the interest of American Fork Police, I'm recommending that you change the park curfew, you change them all. And so it's a little bit easier for enforcement measures. I did speak with the resident today that lives on that street, and they did say that they have seen an increase in the police presence up there, so thank you very much. I'm very appreciative of that.
I'll add to that. I heard from a resident who reached out to me on the complaint. He said that they've noticed a significant improvement since you didn't belong with it. I think they were very appreciative that American Fork's up there and that the council took it seriously and did something about it.
So the way that we've written the code is we didn't remove anything, we just changed the hours. So it would be between Labor Day and Memorial Day, it would be 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. would be the curfew, and then Memorial Day, Labor Day, summer hours would be from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. So it gives them an extra hour at night in the summertime. In that item C, it says it shall be unlawful for any person other than city employees performing their duties to loiter in the park when it's closed. I see the need for that, but I don't love the way it's written, but that's the way it was written before. I didn't change anything. It's typically city employees don't loiter in the park after hours.
Well, other than city employees, so that's fine.
Okay. Anyway.
So, Council, it's a little different from what we talked about last time with having, originally we talked about having Tank Cove closed at not 9, just all year round. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a hassle for American Ford to have one park different.
It's just hard to keep everybody straight.
Sure.
And inevitably, if an officer is not sure, we just don't enforce it.
Sure.
So, to be consistent, not only for us, but even for the residents, was a concern.
I might even suggest that we try this, and if it still doesn't address the solution, then we go to changing it specifically for see what this does, see what effect this has, and then maybe approach it that.
Okay.
I'm fine with this as proposed, but I think we talked about it last meeting. I'm not sure what people are doing in the park from 10 to 11 in the summer now, or right now in the summer. It's dark, people are going there to not be seen. So,
I don't disagree with you.
So, I mean, honestly, I would be fine making it 10 o'clock year round.
Which I know is how American Fork does. It's 10:30 year round, and I'm sure that's even easier for the officers just to know, especially if you did it at 10:30, because then it would be the same for American Fork and Cedar Hills.
The parks on and at the time of the 10 o'clock, that still doesn't give you, that puts people in the park after hours on like fireworks day.
Right.
That's such a small window.
You could add an exclusion for city sponsored events, though. We do that already for other parks.
Sorry, I just think with the new park, there will be people that want to spend pickleball or tennis, and that's what you'll see at Discovery Park at 10 o'clock. It's not uncommon, because that's the nicest time of the day in the summer to play.
Yeah.
But it's up to you.
That's a good point. I hadn't considered actually the new park, but I know the things that will happen there. But
you know, I see a Discovery Park, you know, playing tennis and stuff in the evenings. But generally, you're at a park.
Yeah, generally.
45.
Yeah, there's not courts.
You're trying not to be seen here.
You're in Tim Coates Park.
Yeah. You're trying not to be seen.
Yeah.
Right. So, if I read this, if someone is like riding their bike through the park or some early morning runner, the American Park Police aren't going to stop that kind of person. They should have, yeah. It's just someone who is loitering that they essentially will get in trouble. Yeah, someone just wants to walk their dog at 2 o'clock in the morning and pass it through. It wouldn't be an issue, correct?
Correct.
No, I remember discussing that. What about somebody who law enforcement control goes shopping at Walmart and walks home and just takes a shortcut to the park? Is that considered regular life? We didn't feel like that was. I think that's why the word loitering is there. I just want the impression that city staff just goes and loiters in the park after hours.
First time they can't go to Walmart between 1 and 6 because they're closed.
Well,
are there any other changes to the code? Are there any proposed changes that you'd like to make?
Wait, did we make changes?
No.
Okay.
Are there any proposed changes that you would like to make?
I think
we
go
with this for now and revisit it. There's an issue.
So if someone wants to make that motion,
I will. I move that we approve ordinance number 10-15-2019A, an ordinance amending the title 6-8-6 of the City Code of the City of Cedarville, Utah, relating to curfew in parks and public properties.
Motion by Councilmember Patterson, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller. Councilmember Brady.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes.
Aye.
Councilmember Addison.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. So then we go to item number 8, which is a review action on an ordinance amending Title 6, Chapter 5-3 related to motorized vehicles on public trails. I believe you want to table this.
Yes, I would request the City Council table this item. When I was drafting the code in the happiest place on earth, there was a few other locations where I believe in meeting with Colleen that we feel like this needs to be addressed. So the proposed code that you have in your packet addresses 6-8-6. There needs to be additional amendments to 6-5-3 and 6-5-4, the same title. So we anticipate that being in the next meeting. We felt like the park curfew hours was the more critical one to get done, as this was addressing a foreseeable issue with the e-bikes and the trail. It hasn't been an issue, but with park curfew, that has been an issue, so we wanted to address that once. We want to make sure that we got that. So yeah, I would request that the City Council table item number 8 for the next meeting.
Council,
are
you fine with that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I will
have somebody
make that motion.
I'll make a motion to table. Second.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth, is there a second?
Second
by Councilmember Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We move on to item number 9, which is a review action on the resolution adopting the voter participation area map to be cleared by the Utah County Elections Office.
Yes.
So these aren't the voting?
These are not voting. These are not based on the voting precincts.
Yeah, so these still have 5 voting precincts. These are.
We did not draft these. The county drafted them for every municipality and sent them out.
What are they used for?
So, that's a good question. Based on the state legislation, legislation that passed in the state last year, it involved referendums and initiatives. So, if there was an item that came up for a referendum or initiative, that group collecting signatures would have to get a certain percentage of voters from 75% of the precincts, so 75% of these voter participation areas. So if there was a hot button issue in one section of the city that wasn't necessarily a major issue throughout the citywide, they'd have to get citywide signature, citywide representation for any referendum or any initiative, rather than making it really driven by one smaller group of the city. I think it's a good move. It makes a referendum or initiative ballot that's put on the ballot have to be I guess the consequences of that be felt throughout the city rather than on one small street. The participation areas there, you can see, were drawn up by the Utah County Recorder's Office, Colleen?
Yes.
No, no, the elections office.
And they submitted those to us. There were some rules. They had to be contiguous and equal, as close as possible in registered voters within those areas. This is what was given to us. So we propose that we adopt these by resolution and notify the county that we've adopted those.
You see any negatives to it? I mean, what?
No.
It makes it harder if you're filing a referendum to get the number of signatures you want. But the whole point was that one neighborhood.
It should be harder.
If I was starting an initiative or a referendum on the city council decision that I lived in Q3, I could get signatures from Q3, but I would still have to get two other voter participation areas signatures, a certain percentage of signatures from those other areas, in order for it to qualify to be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify, because I just said it makes it harder to file a referendum. I want to clarify, for the record, this is not a Cedar Hills decision. This is a state mandate. We have to do this. Yes.
So again, you need three.
Right. I believe it's 75%. You have to have. It's like, I believe it's like 20% of the voters from 75% of the voter participation areas.
No, so because we have four.
It's a formula like that. At least
20% from three of those.
20%. I think it's 20%. I mean, that's there. What's going to mark.
I think you're right though.
Any other questions on that one?
No, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 10-15-2019A, adopting the voter participation areas to comply with House Bill 119 from the 2019 general legislative session.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Bailey?
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth?
Aye.
Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Move on to item number 10, which is a discussion on landscaping watering restrictions in park strips and the SC1 commercial zone.
Yes, so there's just two items here to discuss. One is that they're all in the same discussion tonight, but they're really two separate items. And I'm going to start with the landscaping requirements for landscaping strips. These are just what you find in the residential neighborhood between the sidewalk and the street. Right now, if you were to go into our code, 6-4-4 has the landscaping requirements for these landscaping strips. And we do require a tree, and we require that it be a tree from our list here. And the reason that is that these are trees specifically designed to grow roots down rather than out, so they don't ruin sidewalks or minimize the disruption on sidewalks. But the other requirement that we have here that I think is the item that needs to be discussed by the City Council is under C it says other landscaping. And it says a Kentucky bluegrass or equivalent mix shall form the ground cover for all portions of the landscaping strip. No shrubs, bushes, ground cover, flower beds, planter areas, rock, or other such landscaping materials shall be allowed in the landscaping strip. So I think if we're making efforts to conserve water. I know that we're kind of late on this and that most parks are already in, but if the city were to go the route of metered secondary water, I think residents will look for areas where they can cut back on water. And while I do like the idea of trees, I like the visualization of a tree in the park strips, the grass is not usable. The grass is not something that you go play in. So if the city council were to consider an amendment to this code, I think it should be in the ground cover requirements to allow for, I wouldn't say bark, because that gets blown all over in the street, but other types of landscaping. We've had people just go on their own, and we've got a couple that have rocks and a couple that have pavers in the landscaping strips. But I think if you're looking for areas to conserve, that would be one.
I personally would be fine with pavers because I know there are plenty of areas like my subdivision and I think yours where there isn't park strip anyway. It just goes curve right sidewalk and there's no park strip. So there are obviously no trees in those areas because there are no park strips. So I would be fine with pavers and allowing people to use pavers on waterways planning.
What about the requirement for a tree?
I like the idea of a tree. But I would say it has to have a drip system. Because I saw that somebody had like a few bushes, a bunch of rocks, but still we're spraying the rocks to water the bushes. Like, really? You should put a drip system in.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense if you're going to put something in there and still spray the entire area.
So I do think if most people are ripping out their park strip to go to a local scape or a Zara scape, they're probably going to, because the whole point would be to lower their water bill.
You would
think. Right now, they just pay a flat rate.
Yeah.
So, but we're anticipating people changing once there's a tiered rate structure in place.
I like the idea of a tree. You go into a neighborhood where there's trees along the street and they grow up and it's so beautiful. It reduces the temperature. That's true, then it's not beautiful. But it reduces the temperature on the street, it reduces the temperature on the sidewalk in the summer. I think it does a lot, there's a lot of benefits to it. So I'm in favor of a tree, but.
So reducing your, eliminating your requirement for grass and allowing for local staking and Zara staking.
Yeah.
Jeff? In your experience, is there any materials you'd be concerned with getting into a storm drain? I'm really putting you on the spot here. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Because our main contaminant in the city for stormwater is sediment. So anything that would be contained within the planter strip should be fine. Like I say, if we have bark or floatable material, particularly up on the hillside, when we have hard rainstorms, we see huge amounts of landscaping material wash off of yards and into the street, and we will vacuum it all out. But that would be my concern, would be the sediments if they're putting sand or filler within, like say, pavers. A lot of pavers, they will finish them with sand binders, and then it washes out, and that would get into the storm drain.
So from a Utah Lake perspective, one of the things that we're talking about causes some of all of the issues there is just stuff that you're washing off of your grass.
Yeah.
All of the fertilizers.
One of the fertilizers you're using is...
Yeah.
And that is a concern, but not particularly in Cedar Hills, because we don't send any water to streams and lakes. So
we retain all the storm drain within the city, so other than what goes into the ditch, but
the only thing I would recommend not doing is like a permanent concrete, like stamped concrete, so then I think pavers that can be moved and removed and stuff if necessary, like if there's a water issue or something that you have to get to a pipe. I think a permanent paving should not be allowed.
Yeah.
Like concrete. I mean, something why just concrete over and stamp it, make it look good, and it's all done. But I think that causes problems for us.
I think I don't like the idea that I agree with you, just because if you have a mountable curb, then it becomes a parking lot on the sidewalk. Well, we can work on something here and bring something back and tweak it. There's not a rush here to get it done now, but it's just, I think it's just a good, excellent foresight on the management part to say what we're going to have, or push over, taking water from space.
I can't remember, so David Wigley have curb rejects and sidewalk, or is he?
I can't remember. They got park strips and some.
Yes.
So some of the lots, didn't show them, some of the lots have in the, so on this wider side, you see how that side's wider than that side? Part of that is a sidewalk, that's right.
This side is.
But do they have a park strip or just sidewalk curb?
So on the if I remember right from that local scape presentation, they said that we should look at our code to make sure we're not requiring a certain high percentage of grass in the front yards. We should be able to reduce that down to about 50 or 30%. I don't know if that was in our code. So that kind of leads into the next requirement, because we also would be required that lawns, that yards are landscaped in the front yard, which I think is good. I think you'd want to have that requirement. But then the question is, how is it landscaped? So we just say landscape. We don't say anything about it has to be grass. But we can probably clean up the definition of what is landscaping. So we do allow for xeriscaping, but I believe it's a limitation of 30% of the yard. You can increase that. I haven't seen anybody really take advantage of that. And I think that's because there hasn't really been the impetus to do so. as the state really puts pressure on cities to do water conservation, and I think that that pressure is reciprocated and placed on residents, and so that just hasn't happened at this point. But getting the code ready to allow people to do that, Mayor, you, Councilor Ellsworth, you guys sat through that local state presentation, and looking at those brochures, I mean, it looks really like a really nice landscape. And it's not, I think a lot of people, when they think about xeriscape, they think rocks and cactus.
Yes.
And it's, there's options out there that really don't look like that. So we want to probably evaluate the way that we work that. We obviously don't want to allow for stamped concrete once again to be landscaping, but probably even pavers. I probably limit the amount of pavers, but rock areas, rock gardens with vegetation that can't just be rocks would probably be acceptable for landscaping.
Yeah, I'm just making sure that when they can be included for local scape in there, because that's got a definition for it, and we start to people to specific ideas.
We probably even link up to that website that shows examples of them in that book that I brought last time on our website, so we want to give you an idea of what local scaping looks like.
The last thing I really wanted to bring up to the council was the landscaping requirement for commercial area. You think about our commercial area, you think about Walmart, you don't think about areas of community gathering where you can go and pick and cook your family. I mean, it's just not that way. In fact, sometimes I think the grass areas become the least maintained areas of this site, and so they can start dying as the heat goes on. We have this requirement that 30% of any site has to be landscaped, and it can be reduced if you put in a fountain or a plaza for 5%, but really the cost effectiveness of that is probably not there. So I think this is also something the City Council should look at, there's one other item where it allows for xeriscaping, but no more than a third of the 30% can be xeriscaped. So a third of that would be 10% of the total lot, which is next to nothing. So really this is an area where we can probably fine-tune our code that would allow for developers to do some nice landscaping that really is low maintenance, low water demand, that still looks nice. When I think about the requirements we put on our commercial businesses, really the one that they get hung up on is the facades of the building. We're saying if you hold us to this requirement, our building has to look red brick colonial, you better do it for everyone else, and we're fine with that. But I don't know that same sentiment holds with landscaping. I just don't. I think some other like, for example, Walmart had that awful stamped concrete in front of their building.
Does that count as a stamp?
And it's stamped, and it counted as landscaping. And so anytime somebody complained to Walmart, they said complain to the city because we are required to have that. And so we got a lot of complaints over the years from that. So I think looking back, yeah, stamped concrete there looks nice, but it's really not a practical solution to have as you're carrying your eggs and sort of popping bananas out of the store.
I used to push Hannah in her car seat in the cards, and I did you even, I had to like hold her.
No.
So I think that's something that we can look at. The first two items, the streetscapes on the park strips, that can just be addressed directly with the City Council. The one with the commercial requirements, that is in Title 10, Section 6A. That one does need to go to the Planning Commission and get a public hearing. So they probably have two separate tracks, but we can begin that discussion with the Planning Commission here this month and bring it to Council sometime in the next few months, I anticipate.
So that's fine. It's kind of interesting because we're all out in commercial space now.
Charlie's development would be impacted by this.
Maybe 8 lots there, and only two of them are built right now.
Yeah.
And also the one behind Walmart has the same location. Yeah. I mean, that was a unique lot. I mean, it's only about an acre and a half, but once you put in a parking lot and 30% of landscaping, there's not really a lot of room for building. So it really presents some challenges.
How do you look at that for on Motor Cities to see what their requirements are?
Commercial?
Yes.
Not yet.
So, I mean, my recommendation to the council would be, let's look into what other cities do, but I would be fine even having anything at 15%, but really encouraging, really encouraging water-wise planting, not grass. It's just wasting grass.
Okay, I'll look into that. Is there any other feedback that you wanted to direct staff to look into or items of concern? Free start. Okay, all right, we'll get the ball rolling on that.
All right, then we'll move on to item number 11, which is, well, actually, I'm going to ask the council if we can flip 12 and 11, so that way, because Mr. Wright's going to keep himself for 11, that way he can just go where he wants to instead of having to stay for 12. So, council, are you fine flipping?
I move that we flip-flop items 11 and 12 on the agenda.
Motion by Councilor Anderson, is there a second?
Second
by Councilor Ellsworth, all those in favor? Any opposed? Okay, so we'll move on to item 12, which is a discussion on tobacco specialty shops.
Okay, so as mentioned in the work session, with that notification that was given by the Utah Department of Health, this issue came up in that our two retailers of tobacco products, Walmart and Hartz, have been notified that they can no longer sell the flavored vaping products, the flavored vaping oils. In an effort to prevent any tobacco specialty business from selling those in the future, Mayor and I have discussed changing our code or altering our code slightly to specifically prohibit all retail tobacco specialty businesses, regardless of sales or regardless of where those items are being sold. And this item, this also does require a public hearing, so it would have to go to the Planning Commission. I would like to take the Planning Commission with some direction from the City Council. That way, you can get it through the Planning Commission a little bit quicker and bring it back to the City Council. I don't anticipate this coming back to the City Council until the earliest next month. That would be very optimistic, but more likely December or January.
So we discussed this in work session, but it's really just going to be a simple cleanup on that one line item saying we're just not going to issue a license anymore for that purpose. Yeah.
So let's move forward with that.
Any questions on that one? Okay.
If you have concerns, please let me share them with me. I'm happy to take your calls. We should have conversations. Okay.
So, Joel, we actually flipped 12 and 11 and just finished 12, and we're going to go into 11 now, which is legal services. Right. But we did that so that way, if you just want to go home, because this is our last item, you're welcome to.
We can help put down chairs.
No. Well, you can say if you want, but you want to go home, you can.
It's not wrong.
All right, so we'll move on to item number 11, which is a discussion review of requests for qualifications for legal services. So we discussed this in some detail in the work session.
So I mean, we've gone through the bids in the work session. We're not in any amount of detail, and I hope that you've taken the time to read through these bids on your own and you come prepared to maybe make a recommendation. Based on the conversation from the work session, what I'm hearing from the council there is that rather than coming back in an open public meeting and having face-to-face interaction with these applicants, we'd be to narrow down to four, possibly five, and select a subcommittee consisting of the mayor, it was Councilmember Anderson and Councilmember Miller, to work with myself and designated members of staff to interview the selected applicants in a closed meeting, and then bringing the results of that, sharing those thoughts and impressions with the council in general, also, but once that's done. We all agree on that? Yeah.
So I only have one question about that. Is the person who's actually going to be our representative from the firm going to be at these meetings? So
you can make that request.
I would love to meet that person personally.
Typically they brought that person.
Yes.
It seemed like it would be practical to do so, but we'll reiterate to them when we're scheduled.
All right.
So council, my recommendation is to narrow it down to four. I mean, I told you the four that were my preference, but I'm open to suggestions for a different four, or if you want more.
I agree with your four.
Yeah, I agree. When I read through all their proposals, a couple of those stood out to me, so they're on my list, so that's fine.
Okay. The side of the table?
If you have tenants, investors, a company, if you're on Waldo, Tellingdale, Horry, Jimmy.
Correct.
And so will we notify the others that thanks for their bid?
We'll notify the others of the thank you for submitting a bid, and we will notify the board that we will, of the process that we're going through, so that some of those concerns that were raised to the mayor in terms of open meetings and interfacing in front of other applicants can be resolved. We'll be notified and hopefully get some new responses there.
Any further questions or direction for
Chandler? No, I anticipate that that's going to be happening here in the next couple of weeks, I hope. I don't want to drag this on too long, but I know that these firms are anxious to hear back from us, so I anticipate in the next few weeks. I know you're on vacation, I'm going to see you in a few days.
Okay,
all right, good.
All right, that was the last time, so I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Ellsworth was first. Do you want to second it?
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Ellsworth, second by Councilmember Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.